In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA. Pomona, California, from valley to valley. We represent that killer county. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MC8, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Where you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Wannamaker.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
It's a lot of stuff right now. We got a rare guilty verdict. You know, these guys are liberated for a little bit over 10 hours, and they pronounced the former police officer, Derek Chauvin, guilty on all three charges, second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter for the murder of George Floyd. Now, that was surprising to me because I just knew they was going to come back with the shenanigans like they always do.
They couldn't have. That was hands
down.
They didn't have... They had video and they had everything to convict that dude. And the video and the people that was there that saw him with his knee there, that testified, man, they couldn't have came with nothing else but guilty. So I can say about time.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I know a lot of people was reminiscing over that OJ shit or whatever. I mean, not OJ, but reminiscing over Rodney King and that type of shit. But I kind of felt that they wasn't finna let that slide, man. You see what happened just in the wake of what transpired behind him getting killed. So I don't think they wanted to fuck that up again as far as that road went. You know, we seen the horrible shit go down ourselves with the riots in 92 as far as Rodney King was concerned. So, and you see what happened then, man. Motherfuckers tore shit up. Even on the aspect with George Floyd, even before the verdict came down, niggas was tearing shit up. So, I don't think they want to get that one wrong this time. You get me? I was sort of confident that they was finna shut my nigga down.
Well, hey, you have to look at it. You didn't just have people in one state looking at it. You have people all across the world that saw that video and was upset about it. Not just black people, white people, Asians, everybody was mad at that. So to come back and say not guilty, that would have set off a lot of people. And then they would have just seen what it really is out here in America with black people. So there was no way in the world they was going to come back and say not guilty. He was not going to be acquitted whatsoever. And, you know, but you got to look at it. You had a video with Rodney King. And they tried to do the same thing. We make him look like a drug addict. We make the other people look like they got a problem. And they've been doing us like that from the beginning. You know, look down on us, talk about us. We got records. So basically, it didn't work this time. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that dude know he killed him. The dude didn't have no expression on his face when they handcuffed him, when they read the verdict. No, nothing. He was just looking like, okay. He knew he was going to jail.
Well, you know what I'm thinking too is they about to try his co-defendants, the police officers that was with him, because they need to go to jail too. They need to go to jail too. They sit there and watch the whole thing and then intervene. I believe they need to get passed down a nice healthy sentence themselves. And I'm real curious to what kind of time they sentence this guy to. That's what we got to wait on, because it could be 5 years, it could be 4 years. You know, you just don't know. And I'm hoping for the best, but I, you know, traditionally, I think we conditioned to expect the worst almost.
Not in this case, man. I don't see them coming back with no 5, no 7 years. I think he's going to get 20 and up, 20 or better, because, like I said, everybody is watching this. Just like the sentencing, just like the trial, everybody going to want to see what they sentenced him to. And that judge is not going to come with no 5 years, man. That dude is going to get some time in prison. He got convicted of 3 counts. He ain't going to get no 5 years.
I hope not. You know, one thing this whole thing brought me, and I was doing some...
It would be perfect. It would be perfect to, like, they do us, you know, when they get us in there and they tell a motherfucker, you know, we're going to make an example out of you, motherfucker. So we're going to make an example. We done fucked up. We know we've been fucking up. Justice system is fucked up. You know, the police brutality has been going on too motherfucking long. So we got to make an example of this situation right here for everyone that's watching, like you said, not just in America. This is like the whole world watching. So, you know, you've seen the outreach that went down. Like I said, we had Rodney King, but for George Floyd, man, this shit reached different nations. You feel me? You know, people was protesting in different countries and shit behind this. So this is the... We got to make an example of you, my nigga. You gonna have to go do the max that we can allow just to make an example of you, that, you know, we can't tolerate the police, the behind the scenes killing niggas no more.
Oh no, if not at all. 40,
if he get 40, they worked his ass. They did the right thing. But like I said, man, they look at police different than they look at us. Once a police officer commit a crime, to me, he ain't nothing but a civilian. And he should be treated just like us, as if one of us committed that crime. You know, you got brothers going to prison for life, getting life for murder. And this dude could walk out with 15 years, 10 years.
Yeah, you know what it makes me wonder, though? You think about the police officers that's with these guys when they're doing this stuff. And I know they got that, what's that thing called the blue shield, where the cops never tell another cops because they scared sometimes. You had a sister, her name was Carrie O'Horn out of Chicago. You know, she said she was fired from the force in 2008 for stopping a fellow officer from choking a suspect. She said she never wanted another officer to go through what she went through for doing the right thing. And we got a clip of it. Check this out right here.
Tonight, a 7 Eyewitness News exclusive. Former Buffalo police officer Carrie O'Horn in a battle tonight to get her pension. She was fired for trying to stop a fellow officer she says was abusing a suspect. And tonight she is telling her side of the story to 7 Eyewitness News reporter Kendra Eaglin.
November 1st, 2006, there was a call of an officer in trouble at 707 Walden.
That officer, Gregory Kwiatkowski, who was responding to a domestic dispute inside of that home between Neil Mack and his girlfriend. When Officer Carrie O'Horn went into the house, she says Mack had already been placed under arrest.
He was handcuffed in the front, and he was sideways and being punched in the face by Gregory Kwiatkowski.
Horn and about 10 other officers who arrived at the scene helped drag Mack out of the home, but once outside, Horn says Officer Kwiatkowski was out of control.
Gregory Kwiatkowski turned Neil Mack around and started choking him. So then I'm like, Greg, you're choking him, because I thought whatever happened in the house, he was still upset about. So when he didn't stop choking him, then I just grabbed his arm from around Neil Mack's neck.
If that chokehold of a handcuffed suspect caught Horn off guard, it didn't prepare her for what she says Kwiatkowski did next.
He comes up and punches me in the face, and so I had to have my bridge replaced.
Horn says other officers pulled her back when she tried to defend herself. Following that incident, Horn was fired, charged with obstruction for jumping on Officer Kwiatkowski's back and or striking him with her hands. But Officer Kwiatkowski's own words seem to conflict with the charges. In sworn testimony, he says, "She never got on top of me." Nonetheless, Horn lost every appeal, her 19-year career over, and she didn't qualify for a pension. The breadwinner for her 5 children, Horn, now a truck driver to make ends meet.
My daughter said, "Mommy, why'd you go to work that day?" She never said, "Why did you do what you did?" or "I wish you wouldn't have done it." She just said, "I wish you wouldn't have gone to work that day." So, I don't regret it.
Officer Kwiatkowski retired from the police force after he was suspended for choking another officer on the job, a separate incident of punching another officer when he was off the clock, and most recently, Kwiatkowski and 2 other officers were indicted on civil rights charges for holding down a black teenager and shooting him with a BB gun. As for Horn, the city has sent her case to the state retirement system for review. We contacted them for an update, but we haven't heard back yet.
See, you got to do it with a pattern right there. It's a couple of things to bother me about that motherfucker right there. You know, she's trying to stop him from choking this guy out, because we could have, you know, definitely had another situation like we just went through. She stops him and does the right thing and gets fired. Now, the kind of cherry on top of this, the sister just won her lawsuit. I think she won like $1.5 million or something. She got her whole retirement and pension and everything. But just think about how many more police officers there are out there that kind of, like, you know, they go drop the dime on their partner or whatever, and they get into some BS like that.
You said just think. It's all kind of people out there like that. She ain't the only officer that went through it.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Take a thing off
you, what we're up against. This is what you got to go through, and this is how the police are, man. You know, and it's just fucked up. But that what we can't do shit about it. We could talk about it, but we ain't trying to fix the shit. We ain't trying to make it right. Everybody, I know A done got his ass whooped by the police, roughed up by the police. You can't go file a complaint against the police. They gonna ball that shit up as soon as you walk up out of there. That shit is unheard of. They protect each other.
That's why I said in our line of what we did and where we came from, like I said, you see that shit every day. It's not expected for you to go, oh, I'm going to file a report. A nigga kick me in the ribs. I'm going to nigga bust me in the mouth, in the chin with the flashlight or what. When you in the trenches of the hoods and whatever, you know them motherfuckers is banging worse than we are in the hood. And if they come through and they handcuff you, you got about an 8 out of 10 chance of getting your motherfucking ass whooped. And you just took that. You know what I'm saying? We didn't go running off like that because it was expected. So, no, we didn't file reports and shit like that. Never. Fuck it. I mean, nigga, they so-and-so fucked me up. That motherfucker kicked me in the ribs last night, man. Man, that nigga. And you go about your business. You feel me?
Yeah, right. And like James said, we all have been touched on by the police. I wasn't never no gangbanger, and I don't got my ass whooped by the police before. I got to the point when I was living in North Long Beach, James, I had to move out that motherfucker because I had one cop. He had took me to jail over some bogus shit one time. Came back in, was towing my cars and shit like literally every other day, and the motherfucker would ride past my house like this, looking at me like this. Like, you better not say nothing. Just mad dogging me. All the time just being harassed to the point to where I had to move. And I had another partner that was a sheriff, right? He told me, he said, you got a lawsuit, you can file a lawsuit. I got a phone call from the chief commander when I filed a complaint. He told me I need to withdraw it or he couldn't be responsible for what happened to me.
And he wasn't lying. But that's fucked up, though.
It's real fucked up.
You know what? A lot of people don't even pay attention, man. The police, the majority of the police are all police. They come to work with an attitude. Police are just like us. They have family issues, the whole nine at home. They go through shit. Some of them grew up being bullied. Some of them go to the military and come back with this fucking attitude. Want to blame they fucked up in the brain, and they bring that shit to the streets. Some motherfuckers get a kick out of, just like we did, got a kick out of beating up certain motherfuckers, or beating, you know what I'm saying? And once you get used to that, it becomes a routine. Mm-hmm. And the police, the only thing they say, I don't give a fuck what happened to you. I'm going home to my family. And regardless of, and when just saying that bullshit, they not lying to you because this is the only thing on their fucking mind. You got police out there, man, that has to prove a point to the partner that he's with the business and I got your back regardless. You got some police ain't with it, but they just do it just because to fit into that blue shield bullshit or whatever the fuck they got going on. All of them out there ain't bad. All of them out there ain't bad.
Well, you see what happened to the sister.
Yeah, I mean, but she's not the only one that ain't bad. But the whole world goes against you when you turn against your own kind. And that's what happened to her. She went against her code. Just like in the hood. We go against
exactly.
We go against the code. You're an outcast. And that's what happened to her.
Yeah, you figure this happened in 2008, right? And it's 2021 now. She just got, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think $1.5 million. That was 11 years ago, bro. Am I math right? That's 11 years, right?
Yeah.
That's 11 years ago.
Yo, you froze.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me, James?
Yeah, I hear you. I see you moving.
Yeah. You don't see me, Abe? Yeah, so you figure this sister went through all that stuff, and she said that he was doing other shit after that, James. It took them motherfuckers some years to fire this man. He choked another officer out, punched another officer, choked a black kid out. It's like how much shenanigans and bullshit that he had to do before they fired this motherfucker. And they say something ain't right.
Oh, but they liked him. They liked him. That's why. He was that rough rider for them. They liked him. It wasn't until all his motherfucking bullshit kept piling up that they had to fuck around and terminate him. You get me? But he was one of them rough riders for them motherfuckers. So, oh, you gonna go out and punk motherfuckers and choke them and motherfuckers? Man, please. We love this motherfucker right here. Hell no. We love each choking motherfuckers and taking that type of stand around the motherfucking community because it shows that they get more authority as the motherfucking cops. But now his bullshit start piling up and there's nothing they can do. Now you punch, you get me? His track record with fucking with other officers is already long. He punching out other officers. He motherfucking choking motherfuckers. But like I said, still, he wanted them strong white cops. You feel me? They like that. They like that.
Yeah, and let me tell you one more point. He didn't get terminated at 8. He was allowed to retire. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but when they retire, James, they get their full salary, don't they?
You're not listening to what I'm saying. He was a rider for the motherfuckers. Right. So there was no way they finna just throw him under the bus like that. Nigga, we gonna allow you to retire so you can get your bread. You feel me? We boys out here stick together. You get me? So you go ahead and retire, and we're going to sweep all that shit up under the rug, and you still get your bread. But we can't allow you to continue when you got so many motherfucking reports of being a fuck up. Because in a minute, you're going to kill a nigga, and then we're going to look stupid.
He was on his way to doing just that because his last, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back was him, you know, choking off some black kids. And then you got another woman that don't try to run over a group of kids.
That's did great. Y'all hear
about that? Yeah, that you ran into a group of teenage black kids. That could have been your grandson, James. That could have been one of your kids. That could have been your son out there, eight, minding his own business. And a woman just decided, and I often wonder, man, our lives don't have no value on them, bro.
We don't value our life, though. If we start valuing our life, we have value out there. We don't value our life. We take life every day. I wouldn't give a fuck what nobody said. I don't care if a motherfucker mad at me. We take life every day. And motherfuckers today is taking life just on GP. Really on some stupid shit. But then we cry when it's other people. Is it okay for us to do it? Man, we got to figure this shit out, Norm. We got to figure this shit out. This shit ain't just, it ain't cool. So let's get some publicity about motherfuckers out here doing these drive-bys, shooting them up, pregnant woman. You know what I'm saying? Half of this shit don't make no sense. What I'm saying is, if we don't care about self, ain't nobody else going to give a fuck about us.
Not at all.
I mean, they already look at us like, you know, our existence is shit to them, to certain. You know, I'm not going to say everyone, but our existence already means shit to them. Look at where they started with us. You feel me? So it's already our existence and shit to them. And then you have motherfuckers who come from those traditional fucking families and backgrounds and down home, good old boy ass motherfucking heritage, where they look upon the shit we do. Like you said, James, when they look at us and we banging and we blasting each other and whatever, that just fuels their fire of the attitude that they already had with us from the gate. You get me? Look at these dumb motherfuckers, because that's what they think about us.
Hey, you feel had me? You had a Klansman. A KKK motherfucker say, we ain't got to shoot them motherfuckers no more. They doing it for us. That should have been a hint and a half for any motherfucker that ran across that message. We doing it for them. Or we assisting the police. We kill more than they do.
True indeed. As if you want to count all the shit that they put us through, like the neighborhood shit that we do. But like I said, it's a lot of the youngness and the young-minded because of, you know, like when I grew up, I was young-minded to the fact of fuck it, you know, we bang, and that's it. Because I didn't see anything else. You get me? As far as, do I see a future or a nigga gonna be a professional or some shit like that? I didn't look that far. So I don't know if we have to, you know, show the niggas in the neighborhoods or the young homies or whatever that in the long run, there is a lot of shit that you can live for, because proving the existence of, like you said, drive-by killings and going to the pen and trying to earn your weight that way really doesn't signify who we need to try to be as niggas, you feel me? Because it fucks us up, the track record we got.
Well, I'm like this, man. And just like you said, we grew up believing that it was the right thing to do. We believe that we protecting the neighborhood. Anytime you get in a motherfucking car, and I know this now, I didn't think like this then. Anytime you get in a car and go outside of your neighborhood, you become a predator. You become a predator because you're looking to kill. You feel me? Either way we cut it, killing is killing. So what I'm saying is, at some point, motherfuckers got to wake up and smell a coffee. We doing more to ourselves. When a woman kid was killed, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they came off that, they marched on that, and now they, I mean, you know what I'm saying? When we gonna march against brothers killing brothers? When we gonna understand our situation? You know what I'm saying? We got homies that stuck in the goddamn hood still believing today that this is what we supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You got motherfuckers that stuck in the hood because they don't see nothing or know nothing else.
Well, that's the biggest thing, James. I think, man, we need to get, because I got homeboys, man, like I was talking to Glasses about one of the homies that messed with us. He said that the first time this dude ever been out of Watts was going to Las Vegas with us one time. I said, so you've been living in California your whole life and you ain't never been out of Watts? He said, no, unless we went to the Compton swap meet. He said he's never been outside of Watts.
I never been nowhere unless it was with my step pops going to Texas. But other than that, it wasn't until I got out of prison and went with Shield to fucking Vegas or going to fucking Denver. But I never seen all the shit that I seen fucking with that dude. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of homies that's still in the hood that ain't went nowhere.
Now, hey, let me ask you this. When you first got on with the rap thing and you first went out on your promo tour, and you know, you starting to get up out of town, you going to New York and all that stuff. Was it a culture shock for you at first?
I used to take summer vacations back to the South. So I was used to traveling. My mom made it a point. Like I said, we was low income, poverty, living in Compton, you know, but I still had relatives Florida, Texas, Georgia, shit like that. So moms made it a point to put us on a plane or a bus and ship us out. So as far as down south and going and knowing how to whatever move as a kid, but as far as the rap shit, going to places that I would never thought. Of course, the first time I went to New York at 18 years old, you know, during the rap shit, it was a culture shock to me because I had never been nowhere other than Gulfport, Mississippi. You feel me? And that was it. Or Tampa Bay, Florida, where my pops was from. Other than that, I'd never been nowhere. You get me? I'm 18, 19 in the hood. I mean, we didn't even shit. I didn't go to L.A. You feel me? Unless it was to the auntie's house as a kid or something. By the time I got older and was banging, I didn't travel out of Compton. I didn't. Like, I didn't go nowhere. No, we didn't do Hollywood. We didn't do none of that type of shit. Because the way I felt like, we from Compton. So you stay in your territory. So when I started rapping and was able to go to places like Dallas, Texas, or New York, or Atlanta, or Chicago, it definitely was a culture shock because I was able to see the positive side out of doing something other than banging. You get me? It was taking me different places. So it would change my attitude because you got to meet all kind of people. Different elements of motherfucking people. You get me? I'm going to different cities and I got to walk up in these record labels in different cities. And you know, everybody is different personalities. Over here, it might be full of white people. Over here, it might be blacks and Asians. Over, and everybody not like us where we come from. Everybody don't get it. So you have to learn how to adapt to that type of shit when you meeting different people and like we say, regular civilian motherfuckers who ain't never had a part of this. And they want to ask you questions and why is niggas doing this and colors and why is niggas killing and banging and why did you have to sell drugs and do this shit? They really don't get that shit.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
They don't at all. And one of the things, like James said, is like, we could talk about this till we blew in the face, because unfortunately, George Floyd wasn't the first. He's not going to be the last, brother, that we're going to be. We're going to probably have this conversation 25 more times on why. But I want to try to figure out some loose solutions. And I think really the whole key to this, man, is getting to these cats while they're young. Like, you out there coaching football, eight, and I miss coaching football for that fact, because you were able to impact guys from when they were 6, 7 years old. Guys that come from terrible backgrounds. I had a whole bunch of gang-banging kids on my team. You know, the kids wasn't necessarily gang-bangers, but the parents was. You could tell, okay, the dad from Carver Park, the other dad from Treetop. You know, but they come out in that football field, everybody kind of clicked up, and that's the equalizer. So what I want to do, man, and I was talking to Big Dennis up there. You know, me and his sons, our sons projected to go pretty high next year in the draft. So what I really want to do, James, I need y'all involved in this. I want to really start a program where we start taking these kids to see different places. That's one thing I do like about the Snoop League, is it takes kids about their neighborhood and they go see different places, even if it's just up this road to go to Oakland, you know, to go to Fresno, play different, you know, see different stuff, because that makes a difference sometimes. Because the first time I went to Europe, it was life-changing for me, because I came back home and I said, man, it's a whole nother world out there. It's a whole nother world out there, big world, and we need to start showing these kids. So maybe, and my whole thing is this, out of 20 kids, if we can get one or two, I'm cool with that. If we can save one or two of them, because you ain't going to be able to save everybody, but I really want to start getting back to the root of everything, and, man, that's these babies. Because some of these cats, man, once they turn 17 and 18, it ain't necessarily too late for them, but they mind already made up, man.
Yeah, they start early, you know. So whatever, I think whatever you can do to show involvement with the youngs and with the youth, and showing involvement and showing that there is, you know, life outside the hood. Because like I said, a lot of us be products of our environment, and we be stuck, and not too criticized, because I came from that shit. You feel me? But it's a lot of, you know, inner city kids who, you know, single family moms, low income, you know how that work. Homies come home from prison, they drug deal or whatever, they caught gang banging. It's kind of hard to get your life straight when you done did 25 years and you come home, and then, you know, the babies is left with the single moms, and then they have to go through that transition of hate because pops ain't around. So, you know, if you can start there, even though, you know, it ain't pops and I'm not dad, but the male figure, I feel, showing importance to some of the young kids is what really could change some of the aspect of, you know, letting the motherfucker see, hey, your pops might not be here at your game, but we showed up. You get me? Mm-hmm. Or they might not can't get you a pair of shoes, but we kicked up and we got you some shoes. Or your mom or your dad might not be able to get you to Oakland and shit, but we gonna get you there. And I think when you do shit like that, it shows a motherfucker, oh, well, because so now you can't blame the aspect. You get me? You can't be like, oh, well, shit, my mom couldn't do this and I was left behind. When you show that importance and shit, then I think that makes a great change, because there was a lot of kids I saw at 6, 7, you know, kids be bad as a motherfucker at 4, 5, 6 years old.
Oh, man.
And I think just because I participated and, you know, oh, Your dad, I ain't never seen your pops at the game, but it's still, fuck it, we got you. Oh, y'all going to Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm? Oh, fuck it, you going too. Here's your ticket. I think when we do that, just like I do, shit, I make sure every kid on my team, when they show up, oh, what's your cleats? I'm getting everybody cleats. I'm getting everybody whatever, because I don't want kids to feel left out. You feel me? That really fucks with a lot of kids when they feel left out of shit. So I think just showing that and being able to participate and being able to do certain little shit like that makes a whole lot of difference. And it takes a motherfucking kid from wanting to throw up the set to a motherfucker want to throw in a basketball hoop or throw a football or pick up a book and do some other shit like that. When you, as niggas like us, where we came from, James, when we show interest that, hey, it's something else you could be doing. Let me show you. Let me peep this out.
Yeah, and I really want to bring that back, though, because I read at one time, James, that, and hey, this for both of y'all, I heard that Compton at one time was producing more Major League Baseball players than anywhere else. And they made baseball so expensive for the little kids, but they said that at one time Compton was the mecca for baseball.
My neighborhood had all kinds of superstars, baseball, football, the whole nine in it. One of my homeboys went to college, full scholarship for baseball, had a cold-ass arm, came home spring break, never went back. It's just the decisions that we make and the things that we do, man. We pay for it now. But when back then, when motherfuckers didn't want to go back to college, they preferred the hood. And at the end of the day, we pay for it. So we make poor decisions. But a 17-year-old cat can be reached out, can be reached, Norm. You just got to show him something different. Mm-hmm. He's still early in the game for him. He's still wet behind the ears as far as just being a game banger. And I don't give a fuck how solid he might think he is. 16, 17 years old, he can be reached. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Well, we have to come with alternatives because my thing is this. I really want us to start like, hey, you putting your money where your mouth is. You don't have no little kids out there. You still out there messing with the kids. And I've been driving by those parks lately. Like, I missed that. Like, we had a little kid on the team named Rambo. Rambo was one of my hardest players. When I tell you, he was every bit of 2 foot nothing, but one of my hardest players. I put him on the edge when we got hard games, hey, wasn't nobody getting around the corner from he's smallest dude out there. But you know why he got his name Rambo? He used to carry a pistol with him to every practice at 22. And this dude wasn't nothing but 7, 8 years old, pistol every day. So we talking to him one day and we say, man, why do you have to, we don't took 3 guns from you already. He said, coach, when I leave here, ain't no telling what can happen. I already had a brother. I already lost a brother. I lost a cousin. So this dude, in his mind, he thinking at 8 years old, I have to have protection because I've seen my brother lose his life already and I've seen my cousin lose his life. So I don't want to go out like that. You know, so it's like I think about them kids all the time because I had them from when they was babies on up. But then after they leave me, what happens to them? You feel what I'm saying? Like, where do they go? And I hear these stories about them. Some of them in prison, some of them dead, some of them don't went to college. You know, I try to keep up with as many of them as I can, man. But I think the only people that can help us is us. So I want to start putting my time and our money, our efforts into doing that right there. And again, I know we can't save everybody, man, but something got to give.
Yeah, all it is that just trying to put forth the effort. I mean, it starts from somewhere. And like you said, talk is cheap. So it just has to be a scenario where you connect with it and you make it happen. Like I said, my son has been, you know, he's been out of youth football for 3 years now. But I still coach. And I went back to coach 11, 12-year-old kids because, like I said, it's not even a fact of, to me, it's just about connecting with kids and letting motherfucking kids see, like, shit, it's cool that you come out. I don't come out on the fact that they know I'm who I am or whatever. I just come out as a regular dude. And then naturally the parents start noticing and stuff like that. And it just excites the kids because they see that I could be anywhere, you know, doing anything. But you know, to me, I don't give a fuck. I'd rather be out at the park with kids trying to teach kids about teamwork, trying to teach kids about you can get along. Because believe you me, I got 11-year-old kids who do not like each other. You feel me? And they be ready to get them up and talk about I'm gonna fuck him up and I don't like that kid and I'm gonna fuck him up after practice. And I have to talk to kids and be like, dude, and pull kids together and be like, while you around me for the next 4 months, nigga, we homies right here. He hey, got your back. You got his back.
Take 2 sets of boxing gloves. You feel like that? Tell him to get the gloves. Man up and get the gloves.
And you know what I make? You know what I make them do, James? I make them hold hands and skip around the whole park together while they hold hands. That's what I make them do. Y'all want to be on my team and y'all want to be acting crazy? Oh, then I'm going to embarrass you because that's what you're going to really be doing, embarrassing yourself, trying to be out here fighting at 11 years old. Man, right. You know what my son was doing at 11? playing football and living an 11-year-old life, cartoons and fucking cereal and shit like that. He didn't have no beef with no little kids. Everybody liked him. And that's what I'm talking about. At 11, at 7, 8, you got to carry a pistol. You should be being a kid.
Right.
You get me? And that's unfortunate. So that's why I say it's just we just have to, like you said, you just have to put up or shut up. And that's why I still coach football, because I'm trying to put up and not shut up, just because and show motherfuckers it wasn't just about coaching my son or getting to that level and now I can go, oh, cool. I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to go coach again. Why not?
Exactly, because I've stayed around for like a year or two after my son was gone, but then the time just became too much. Because I wanted to just stay and be a coach, but didn't nobody want to step up and do the president stuff. So that's when it was kind of like, you know what? It's getting too difficult because you know the time that goes into that. It's like
when you run in an organization, it's a lot. It's time consuming. So I get it. That's why I've never tried to be a president or nothing that. Just let me coach. I take my 2 hours with the kids. You know, teach them some sportsmanship. Teach them how to get along with other dudes, and teach them how you know everything's about not retaliation in that aspect. And that's it. And then maybe at the end of the day, when they leave practice, they go home with the sense and the feeling of they've learned something. And there's a motherfucker out there who really care about what's going on. You feel me? With me as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know you as a kid. Sometimes you might not like what the parents did. You might not like what go on at school or the brother at home or whatever. And then there's somebody you can connect with that just understand it all. You get me? I ain't taking mama side, daddy side, brother side, or teacher side. You just be cool. Don't get into no shit, and me and you straight. And I think that really resonates with some of the kids.
Exactly. And that's the thing, man, because I know James talk about it all the time. And one thing James just said, he made a really like big point, because once these kids turn 13 or 14, they leave us, we have to have something that where we can really just keep something going for them for the next 3 to 4 years, something for them. Because, you know, some people stop playing youth football, basketball or whatever, and just never play again after that, right? They start getting into other stuff. You know, they may not be interested in sport no more, but we really definitely, man, we got to sit down and put some stuff together. You're already doing the 8, and I know where your heart is with it, James, and that's one of the really biggest things for us over the next few months to establish some stuff. You know, shout out to Snoop, shout out to Flo Rida, because all of them dudes put their time and their money, you know, where it's at. You know, they starting with these babies, but like James said, we just can't ignore the 17 and 16 year olds and stuff like that. And you know, I think it's a thing like where they say you can't help everybody, man, but I damn sure want to try.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Well, man, you know what? Just sitting up and talking about this stuff just pissed me off, man. You know, to all the people out there, start talking to your neighbors. Let's go back to the old values. Start talking to the cat that lives next door to you, the kid that lives next door to you. See if he all right. My wife was telling me the other day that she saw a guy that looked like, she thought he was a hobo, like a grown man. It turned out it was like a little 11-year-old kid. He was out there asking for change, you know, in front of people's business or whatever. They called the police on him. She said the dude stood up. He's a little kid. You know, kids should get an opportunity to be kids, man. Not just like, you know, I picture the stuff that we grew up in, man. I just couldn't see my kids living life like that. So I don't think anybody else.
Some of these kids is living, say he 11. Some of them got to take care of themselves because mama out doing something, pops ain't at home. So some of these kids out there raising themselves pretty much. You know what I'm saying? We done got bad, and it's getting worse. So not only reaching out to the dudes, we got to reach out to these mothers and tell these mothers they need to stand up and be mothers. It ain't about the club every motherfucking night, hanging out, drinking, and getting high. You know what I'm saying? All the black men get the bad end of the stick. But there's some women out there that shouldn't have motherfucking kids. It's some women out there that neglect their kids for a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or for that pedophile motherfucker. So we just need to check ourselves, man. He ain't the only 11-year-old kid that's out there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
In the streets begging for change.
Yeah, so exactly. You know, this is one thing I want to propose. All y'all business owners out there, everybody, we go put some stuff together. If y'all want to be a part of it, hit us up at the Gangster Chronicles Podcast at gmail.com.
That's and you know what, Norm? It ain't even hard. With all the black successful men and women out here today, to get an organization, and you can get three buildings with $400 from each motherfucking person of wealth here to build for these teenagers, these young people out here today. You know what I'm saying? It don't take a lot of money to do this from one motherfucker. It don't take a Jay-Z to spend $1 million. It just takes the right people to step up and put their money where their mouth is and say, okay, I invested $500 in this. And get the right people to run that shit, and then we can move from there and build and grow and get these kids off the goddamn street, teach these kids to trade, teach some of these kids how to read. You got some kids, some talent out there that these little young cats know how to box. And you reap the benefits later. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna see them right then and there, but you reap the benefits later. It's not hard to invest, but you just want to invest in the right thing. And $400 to save a brother or a kid is worth it.
Yes, it is, man.
That eliminates the police bullshit. Only when, see, one thing I trip off of, and then you got to look at the police part sense of it. Some of us have an attitude as soon as the police come up to us, too. And you know, man, Reggie used to argue about this all the time. Sometimes it don't matter if you got an attitude, because when they walk up to their car, to your car, they got an attitude, they got their hand on their gun. Some of them just want to see if they can fuck with you and how far can they fuck with you. Mm-hmm. And by that time, it's too late, because the average cat in the hood is like, man, why the fuck y'all fucking with me? Now they mad. So from 0 to 50 is on. From 50 to 100, one of us done got killed because we ain't replying now. We ain't listening. And that shit is designed by them motherfuckers to say, stop resisting. Once you say stop resisting, it's on from that point, dog. It's on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some of this shit you look at and see on Facebook, just don't say shit to them. It's better not to open your fucking mouth. You don't have to tell them who you are. You don't have to mention your name. We got to learn the law. And once we learn the law and start busting codes on their ass, they know what they can't and how they can't fuck with us.
Yeah,
but half that shit is on us because we ain't paying attention. And if it's a broad next to you or one of the homies next to you, we amp it up. Fuck that. 9 times out of 10, let them go about their motherfucking business. But if we don't start helping each other, dog, police ain't finna help us. Ain't nobody from Africa finna come help us. If we don't help those that need help, and we know we need help, because A been there, I've been in it. I lived that life. I can't knock down a nigga that pick up a pistol and go out there and do some funky shit, because I lived that shit. So any motherfucker that going out there and say they them stupid bastards killing a wolf, he's a fucking hypocrite. And you live that life. So instead of talking and doing all that other shit, man, motherfuckers just got to help people, man. And that's what we are. That's why we here.
Yeah, just exactly. Helping
motherfuckers. Exactly.
And what I want to do is I want to leave everybody on this note right there. Because I think we don't touch on everything we can touch on about this. And, you know, like I said, hopefully we don't have to talk about it at least for a while. Think about it. Only take a minute to lose your life. It only takes 1 minute. So a little simple traffic stop could turn into just a tragedy. So the next time the police pull one of y'all over, keep your hands on the 10 and 2. Give him what he asked for. Be cordial and get on. Even if it's a bullshit ticket or whatever like that. Just live to see another day. And that's it. That's all I got to say, fellas.
It takes away the intent, man. It takes it away. It takes the upper hand from them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, But you're going to run into that one that want to put his hands on you, that one that's mad. Well, we got to realize when Donald Trump was in office, they showed us they had racist motherfuckers in the military, racist motherfuckers in office, racist motherfucking police officers in all different branches, and the Marines, the whole nine. Is the odds are against us as a people because they got people in higher places than us. So they're not giving a fuck about how we feel about certain shit. They just sicking the dogs on us. And niggas ain't paying attention. These police out here killing motherfuckers, and they got women out here. Women went to jail for look at these dudes out here. They out here tripping. For hitting with the Capitol, it's women, military women. The odd is against us, dog. I'm scared to get my teeth pulled. Because that motherfucker, my dentist might be a motherfucking Klansman and he might just fuck me up or something. I'm serious. It's people in higher places that are racist. And mm-hmm. and we ain't paying attention to it. Or we say hi to the dentist and the doctor, but it ain't just the police, man. So I'm just going to shut it down because, man, we really got to focus and pay attention to what's happening to us.
You do. It pisses you off. And I ain't, you know what? I know y'all can probably see it on my face. I haven't been this frustrated in a long time. Just doing the research to put this episode together and doing everything, I'm like, okay.
Don't be mad at the motherfucking police if we out there committing the same goddamn crimes.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we doing the same shit. So like I said, hey, Jane, we gonna start getting busy, dog. We gonna start getting
busy. It's all good.
All right, for sure. All right, fellas. All right, we'll catch y'all next week. Peace.
Chill. Yeah.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.